Is that right? We don't have a public comment here.
Hatfields and McCoys. Well, he's not here. Well, that's why he worked so hard on it.
Charlie. Make sure that we have public comment on any one of these in the future. Public comment. Where is that? That's in each other. Steve, ready? Okay, we'll call everything back to order. We'll report back out from closed session. There is no reportable action. Number five, professional services agreement. Do we have any questions, comments, motion?
I'll move it.
A second.
We have a motion and a second to do the professional service agreement for the executive director 1 and 2. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All no. Abstentions? And one abstention. So we have all ayes, one abstention. And the purpose of the abstention?
All right, I have a past relationship with the candidate.
Okay, thank you. California High Speed Rail. Michelle, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. So while you were out, we passed around a one-page sheet that has some information that will be germane to the report that I'll make. In 2018, essentially, the High Speed Rail Authority released a new business plan. We also prepared some documents and some agency activities associated with that business plan aimed at implementing the business plan. So essentially, for those of you who've been walking down this path with us, we've been on a journey. As you're aware, in 2016, our business plan talked about the High Speed Rail Authority making operational the piece from the Central Valley to the Silicon Valley. In 2018, our business plan still points in that direction. So our first and top priority as an agency is to get a train running in California, and that train will run first from the Central Valley to the Silicon Valley. However, we have a number of commitments that we have made associated with our federal grants and other things, which include the completion of the environmental documentation for all of our phase one system. So that would be completion of the documentation for all of our project from San Francisco down to Anaheim. We do have federal grant monies that were provided to us to accomplish that, and we do have a sunset date to accomplish that by 2022. So associated with our business plan, we took a look at that and have reconfirmed our commitment to do that, and the sheet that you have at your podium essentially is the list of the environmental document schedules to complete that full phase one clearance. So we're using our high-speed rail lingo. So up at the top, you've got San Francisco to San Jose. Down at the bottom, you have Los Angeles to Anaheim. You have all the pieces in between. You can see, obviously, that we had two pieces completed, which allowed us to begin construction in the Central Valley. So with regards to the Antelope Valley, with regards to Southern California, if you take a look at the bottom half of that, Bakersfield to Palmdale, Palmdale to Burbank, Burbank to LA, and LA to Anaheim, you can see that we have identified dates of this fall, October of 2018 and November of 2018, to announce the preferred alternatives for those projects, followed by the circulation of the draft environmental documents. And if you take a look at that, you can see that there is some time on several of those projects between the announcement of the preferred alternative in this fall and the release of the draft, which would be in 2019. But if you look at the bottom, you can see the Los Angeles to Anaheim has got a preferred alternative in November of 18, followed very closely, basically at the same time, by the release of that draft document. And that is really coordinated right now to complement some of the other activities that are going on in that particular area. Other agencies have interest in starting projects within the corridor that High Speed Rail will be starting, will work in at some point in time. So we wanted to get our environmental clearance done to allow those projects to begin. So that's really what I'm here today to draw to your attention. I have sent some emails out to local city officials, local elected officials to this effect. My team will be contacting people to set up one-on-ones just to make sure everybody remembers what it was that we were working on in terms of the project in your particular area. So look for those. It will come fast and furious, obviously. It will culminate in running public outreach meetings prior to these items being discussed at our board meeting. And for those of you who may not be familiar, basically, with this process that we're talking about, the Department of Transportation, the Federal Department of Transportation, has basically been working on this new process that has agencies come out and announce the recommended preferred alternative prior to the release to the public, so that the public knows what the analysis the agency has done is pointing towards, so that when the public comes to our meetings, they can focus their energy accordingly and really dig in and comment on the alternative that is appearing based on the science and the analysis to be the preferred alternative. So this is relatively new. This is being implemented now kind of throughout the Department of Transportation projects. Obviously, we are under the FRA in terms of
our NEPA clearance. However, just so everybody is aware as well, there's been some action on that. I don't know how many of you are familiar with what has transpired with the FHWA and Caltrans, but essentially the FHWA has provided NEPA assignment to Caltrans so Caltrans can conduct the federal review in place of the federal agency to make sure that those reviews can happen with more staff and on schedule. Now, that does not change the review. That does not mean that they do not ask for exactly the same things that would meet the federal requirements, of course, but it just means that state of California employees can work in place of federal employees, and this has been particularly helpful because our Caltrans partners have the bandwidth to do that where some our federal partners were struggling with the bandwidth to take care of all of California. We have requested that same assignment. The state of California has requested that same assignment from the federal government for rail projects. So for FRA approved projects, which would cover our regional rail, of course, the high speed rail, the state of California has requested assignment as well so that we can use some of our resources here to make sure that we are able to go through those approvals quickly. So, again, preferred alternatives in 2018. Draft documents mid to late 2019, and that's what we're looking at right now. And I know that we've been before you and we've talked about dates in the past, and my agency has come to the conclusion that these are the dates that we are going to stick with. So if you have any questions.
Questions? Steve?
Any progress being made on the bookends for this system? Any progress being made on this? Getting over to Tehachapi?
Yes, we have been working on that Bakersfield to Palmdale section for quite some time. We've had a number of public meetings. We have alternative analyses that have been completed. We have several routes when you put them together. I think we're looking at three or four different options of mix and match to get across the Tehachapis, but that is not a barrier to our project. We can cross them with the appropriate grades, et cetera. With regards to the bookends, right now the legislature put $500 million in an account for Southern California. At this time, one of the other things that our business plan, our 2018 business plan, did do, so I thank you for bringing that up, is basically say where that $500 million or where we believe at this juncture that $500 million will be invested. That $500 million right now will be invested in a grade separation south of Union Station and in the Union Station run-through track project. Those are the two projects basically that have been identified, and at this juncture it will appear that those two projects will require all of the $500 million that is in that account right now.
Again, how do we, the bookends anticipated that as the project was expanding on the high-speed rail side in the valley, that Caltrain on the north and Metrolink on the south was going to meet up with that thing. Again, what are we doing about getting Metrolink, for example? What's your relationship and what's the progress being made to get that over, and your progress with UP to be able to pursue that, get those trains back over the Tehachapis like they used to do?
So we haven't been talking about going north yet. We've been talking about getting south. Primarily, we have been working diligently with our regional partners down here to take a look at the Metrolink service area as it exists today. But I know that there have been studies done about taking it over the Tehachapis eventually, although the current track and the current grades mean that that is an extremely slow trip, as you know.
All right, the only connection you've got from here up in the Central Valley is a bus. So just keep that in mind.
Duly noted.
Marcia.
Exactly. Where did the $500 million come from?
The $500 million. So the bookends were established in 2012 with the Southern California MOU, and subsequent to that, the state legislature appropriated $500 million in SB 1029. It's from the California High-Speed Rail 1A bond funds.
And those are in an account right now waiting to be spent?
No, we have not sold them yet because those projects aren't in the – because once we sell them, the public starts paying interest. And so those projects are not ready to go into construction yet. So as soon as they are, we have a full plan to sell those for the first project, the grade separation. And we are working with LA Metro and Metrolink and our other partners on the phasing for the Link Us project.
Okay. Because every time you speak, Michelle, you talk as if that money is right there waiting to be spent, but it's not right there. And so do folks have to put in their bids for where this money is going to be spent once these bonds are sold?
So I think it's a chicken and an egg thing, what you're talking about, and I appreciate that. Essentially, the bonds aren't sold until the project has been identified. There is a full funding agreement for that project with the matching funds. The bond funds require a one-to-one match in place, and then the project is at a place where it needs that money. Those monies can only be used for right-of-way and construction. That was the rules that were put on them. So basically, as soon as it is identified that those projects need to draw down those funds, those bond sales will take place.
And at what point is that?
For Rosecrans-Marquardt now, it's looking like that's going to start happening in the next year. For Link Us, that project needs to complete its environmental clearance. So that would be there is not a project management and funding agreement in place for that. So once that's in place and we identify the right-of-way and construction, then those funds can start being
sold.
And
what about from L.A. out to Palmdale? When does that happen?
As I said, all of the $500 million that's in there, that's all that's in that fund at this juncture, will be spent on those two projects, according to everything that I know today.
But you don't have specifics yet as to exactly what projects you're talking about.
Yes, the Link Us project, the run-through track project at LA Union Station, and the grade separation, the Rosecrans-Marquardt grade separation. Those are the two projects.
And has it been determined what the cost is going to be for the Link Us?
The grade separation project is $76 million. Of the high-speed rail fund, that is basically in an agreement that is signed now. The state of California has agreed it will sell bonds on that. We are just waiting for the time that those bonds need to be sold, and it's a very, very simple process. It's just something the state doesn't do until the money is needed to be paid out. The Link Us project is still in conceptual design. The remainder then of those bond funds would be identified for that. That project is a little bit bigger than that, so we are still working through what the phasing for that project would look like, and I would think that Metro and Metrolink could talk about that more.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Arthur, you working yet?
Yeah. trying to get notes.
Next meeting, you can put on the agenda for the California high-speed rail and the next one, the High Desert Corridor, for us to take a position to determine where we're at with it and what we're going to, our position is as a community and the NCTC. So the High Desert Corridor project, there's no report on that. Metro, Isidro?
Good afternoon, Isidro Punuco, Metro Highway Program. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of the existing highway projects going on in North LA County area, and then I'll pause for questions after each one of those and that I provide an update. So going forward, I guess I'll go first. One is the SR-138 widening. This is for segment 6, 8, and 9. We're coordinating with Caltrans to update our agreements to move forward with design and construction on those different segments. The second project I have here is the SR-138, SR-14 overlap. This is, as you all know, $200 million that was identified in Measure R. It's being programmed into 10 interchange improvements, 5 for the city of Lancaster, 5 for the city of Palmdale. All of those projects are in either the PSR phase design or going into construction. The third project or update would be for the I-5 SR-14 funds. As you guys know, last time I came here, we went to the board in May to program funding for 3 projects, one for the city of Lancaster, one for Palmdale, one for the county. As you all are well aware, these funds were supposed to be initially programmed 30 years out, so that was a big endeavor, and through the leadership of the supervisor and others here, we're able to advance those funding for those projects. So the Metro took a board action to program the funding for the 3 jurisdictions, and also subsequent to that, we had a very good conversation with the city of Santa Clarita. They've identified a couple other projects that are within that 1 mile bandwidth SR-14. Some of those briefly are Sierra Highway improvements and also access and Metrolink improvements to the Vista Canyon station. So our plan is to go to the board in September with those projects. So no action needed on those. The fourth project is the I-5 HOV lanes from Parker Road to Castaic. As you all are well aware, there's construction going on through Caltrans, but subsequent to that, there'll be a HOV lane project that we have funding for. We are currently in 95% design for that project and look to start construction in the 2020 timeframe. So I think with that, those are all the highway updates. Any questions?
Okay. Can we get that? Can you give us something that we can follow along with
Sure.
next time?
In the future, I'll provide a handout just to give you the status or schedule for these.
We can only write so fast, man. So.
Okay.
Did you talk about the infra?
Sure. Infra 4. Apologize.
I guess it's Cal, but Metro, didn't we submit it with them for the $47 million mm-hmm. that we got from the federal government? On the 5?
Oh, the I-5 HOV lanes? Right, so that was, I believe, a month and a half ago. So
I didn't know if they all knew about that.
Okay.
This was only one of 2 federal grants that was awarded down here. I think that's... Oh, you're going to talk about that, Rappy? Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So they'll give the updates on the grants awards that we have. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Okay.
I told my staff that the same thing last
time. Caltrans? Sama?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. I'm Osama Migalla, Caltrans Project Management. I'll present projects from this map, if you have it in front of you. I'm referring to the table on the top right-hand corner. In that table, you're going to see I'm going to be reporting on 6, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 6 projects, the one in green and orange. All the blue projects have been completed, and I'm going to start with the green project, project number 15 and 16 of the list. This is a combined segments 3 and 4. funding has been restored by CTC. In fact, they voted in March to restore funding, and we expect to begin design in November of 2018, November of this year. And we anticipate to begin construction by July 2021, and we anticipate to finish construction by winter of 2023. Project number 18 in the list, this is the segment 6, which is from 87th Street to 96th Street. Design has been completed, and we are currently working with Metro to execute the funding agreement, and we anticipate to begin construction by this November. The next project on the list, the project in orange, this is the number 2021, and this is a segment, combined segment 8 and 9 project. We awarded this contract in November of 2017, but we have some setbacks because of the counties relocating the water main. They are almost done. In fact, they're going to be done by the end of this month. So our contractor will get in to start the widening, and hopefully we could finish by late fall of this year. If not, it's going to probably move to mid-winter. So we left it up to the contractor to hopefully we could expedite. Project number 25 in the list, this is the segment 13 from 185th Street to Junction SR18. Also, this project funding was rescinded by CTC in May of 2015. However, in March of this year, funding got restored. So we're going to, however, it's funded for 22-23 fiscal year. We will be working with Metro shortly on finding ways to expedite, and we could resume construction design very soon. We already acquired about 70% of the needed parcels. We got remaining about 30 to 32 parcels. So we anticipate to begin design once again once Metro agrees to expediting the funding. The project number 29 on the list, this is a project just began construction. This is the it's basically a pavement rehab and some ADA work, some curb ramps we are doing, and it's currently in construction, and we anticipate to finish by spring 2019. And the last project to report on this afternoon is number 30, and this is the ADA project, compliance project, just got amended into the 2018 SHOP program. We're going to begin design very shortly, and we anticipate to go to construction by July of 2021. This is concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Thanks, Matt.
Questions? Comments?
Good document. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say thank you, guys. My understanding is that the ongoing issues with the access point to the post office on 138 have been resolved. I don't know if you want to expand on that at all about what you guys were able to do. But
yeah, the post office, it was kind of a situation because it's basically a private property, so we can't interfere with the private property. So what we did is we widened from our end. We moved the guardrail a little bit inward, and we restriped the lane to give like a shelter for folks so they could wait on the right-hand side, basically on the right-hand side shoulder until the driveway clears out. So this is what we did, and I'm glad that it got resolved. So
it was a recurring issue at the summit, so thank
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you.
Resolving that.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Do we have a representative from Wilk and Lackey's office here? Can you both come up? waiting for us. Just a question.
Yes.
In late April, the city, ABTA, the city of Palmdale, city of Lancaster, all met with Caltrans in regards to them having an individual up here, because by the time it goes through their processing and everything, it's costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars. They were bragging on how much money they received from SB1. They were hiring new people, and we asked if that they could hire one individual and put them half day in Palmdale, half day in Lancaster. We would supply all the office space for them. We asked them to do that. Their recommendation was they'll send someone up here every 90 days. The next recommendation that they have, they gave us a list of people to call. Can you ask Senator Wilk, Assemblyman Lackey, if we can get some help with some representation from Caltrans down in the Antelope Valley?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, because we need some help.
Yeah.
It's costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it took us 4 months to get a meeting with them. So.
And he asked, that was great, though, because I remember the gentleman saying, I'm not sure what the problem is here. And the chairman says, took us four months to get a meeting to discuss delays with you guys. So, I mean, that kind of spelled it out.
Our chief of staff is up here. My chief of staff was up here today. So,
well, I talked to Assemblyman Lackey today, but if we can get some help from the state, we would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Number 10. NCTC member agency transfer projects.
So on this one, each member agency will give a brief update on their transportation projects that they have going. First up will be Los Angeles County Department of Public Works, and we have John Walker, who is the Assistant Deputy Director.
Good afternoon, Chair Chris, board members. John Walker, Los Angeles County Public Works. Just an update. I'll be very brief. We have we distributed maps to each of maps and project lists to each of you. It the front page looks like this. There should be two or three different packages.
What does it look like?
Like this.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a map attached to each one. One is projects that were completed in fiscal year 17-18. The other is projects that are active projects that are either in design or some that are under construction as well. Just as a summary, we in 17-18 we completed 34 projects totaling over $67 million in the North County. Just to note, $55 million of that was the SR 126 at Commerce Center Drive in the Santa Clarita area. Currently, we have seven projects that have been awarded or under construction, totaling about $19.4 million. Those projects are two notable projects are Pine Canyon Road and Elizabeth Lake Road up here in the west of Palmdale area. Another project that we have starting very soon is North County bus stop improvements, which are improvements to AVTA bus stops, which include curb gutter pads, shelters, and benches and trash receptacles. I also want to note that again, just to remind everybody that the summer beach bus that's sponsored by the 5th District is operating now. It's been operating for a little over a month. They both go to Santa Monica Beach. We have one operating out of the Castaic and West Ranch area, and buses operating from Palmdale and from Lancaster. So that's a good reminder. Gives everybody an opportunity to take a ride from their community. So that concludes my very brief report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Are the old road improvements in Santa Clarita and the bridge replacement over the Santa Clara River included in this list?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Can you direct me to them? Or?
Yes, sir. Yeah. They are. Oh, yeah. They would be in the...
On the active it's, project.
Right, under the list of active projects.
Active
projects. There's one that's entitled Completed Road Construction Projects.
Yes.
And one that's...
I see.
That starts with Proposed.
Barry Lane.
Yeah, here it is. Number 22. Is that number 23?
I believe it's project 23.
Got it. That's okay. Summer 2022. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Be happy to answer any more questions. If not, that concludes my report.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Comments? Thank you.
Next up, I'll be giving an update from the City of Lancaster and on their projects. It should be up on your screen. There's a map which shows our Revive 25 pavement rehab projects for the next 2 to 5 years. In the lower right-hand corner, you will see a legend that shows Measure R projects in orange. That's $55 million worth of projects. There's pavement rehab component to that, as well as interchange improvements along the 5 interchanges shown there. The second funding source that we're showing there is SB1 money. We're getting about $2.1 million annually of SB1 money, which we're using to pave out several neighborhoods that are hatched in the magenta color. The blue colors are Measure M projects. This is the first 5 years that we've programmed. It's an $8.8 million of improvements. Those are pavement rehab and active transportation, complete streets type projects. The last category there is the yellow one, which is multiple funding sources, so both local, state, and federal funds. And those projects are in general pavement rehab with some complete streets type projects. The little circles on there are the roundabout projects that are scheduled to go to construction in January. And I have it open for any questions if there are any.
Questions? Comments? Okay.
Next up, City of Palmdale.
Good afternoon. I would like to mention 5 major projects in the City of Palmdale. They are funded by Measure R funds. The first one would be State Route 14, the northbound off-ramp. The goal is to widen the off-ramp so we can avoid traffic backing up to the main line.
Anything to follow you with?
No, yes.
Okay.
No.
The 14 where?
And Rancho Vista Boulevard. State Route 14, northbound of Ramon Rancho Vista Boulevard. That's one of the goals, is to improve the off-ramp and to widen, add one more lane between Rancho Vista and Palmdale Boulevard in the southbound route. To do that, we have to improve the bridge and Avenue Q. We went out to bid, and Rasmussen Construction was awarded the bid, so when we start construction towards the end of this year. So that's the first of the Measure R projects that we are constructing. So we're pretty happy. We went through the whole process through Caltrans, and by the end of 2019, we'll be finishing that that project. The next one is south from that interchange. We stayed Route 138 or 14 and Palmdale Boulevard. That's the southbound off-ramp. It's the same goal, is to improve the ramp so traffic doesn't back up to the State Route 14. And right now, we're working with Caltrans, and we are in the environmental process. Then we have to acquire right away if needed. And the goal is by 2020, 2021, to start construction. The next one will be State Route 14, and the southbound off-ramp to 10th Street West. That's the main access to the mall. And the same thing. The goal is to improve the southbound off-ramp and make it longer and wider so traffic doesn't back up to the main line. In addition to that, we'll be improving 10th Street West from Rancho Vista Boulevard to Avenue 08. We're going to make it eight lanes in each direction, four lanes in each direction, so we have eight lane arterial. And the reason why it's so wide is because we had so many traffic signals, so traffic won't back up in that area. So right now we are in the environmental process there. The biggest challenge we have here is the Edison power lines. They're huge power lines, and each pole might cost about $1 million. So that will take a little longer to complete. So most likely 2021 will be the time that we'll be constructing there. Another one will be Estero 138 in Palmdale Boulevard between 5th Street East and 10th Street East. The goal there is to improve the railroad crossing. It's four lanes. We're going to make it six lanes. That's across City Hall. And we're excited about it because that's the downtown. And the biggest challenge we have there is working with Metrolink and UP because the preemption equipment, we need to be creative and have to preempt that signal. So that would take a little longer to work through with these agencies. So most likely will be 21 and year 22 to construct this project. The last one we'd like to mention is the State Route 14 and Avenue N, and the goal is to improve the interchange. Right now, we're in the stages of the environmental studies and preliminary engineering, and they're planning to install roundabouts on each interchange. So a little bit different, but roundabouts have been proven successful, and we'll be using roundabouts at that location. So those are the five projects I would like to report. We have another one, like ITS projects. We're installing fiber optic lines through the whole city. In the last 5 years, we have installed like $10 million of fiber optic lines through the city, and we've been very successful with Metro getting those funds, so it's pretty good. So the city is in a good position to connect all the traffic signals, cameras, through these funds through Metro. And open for any questions.
Questions? Comments?
Bill, can we make sure we get a handout on this next time?
Sure, next time.
Be a lot more helpful. Sure. Also, we met with Metrolink a couple of months ago. We spoke about some of the Metrolink interface problems, and that Palmdale Boulevard is number one on the hazard list, you know. And one of the other discussions that we had was, as we do this work, there's a desire to go to a no-horn zone through there because of all the, you know, the proximity residential as you start going through the valley here. As we do those improvements on that interchange, can we make sure that those improvements are consistent with what's going to be necessary for the upgrades for the no-horn zones? Because I don't want to see us putting in equipment that's going to have to end up coming back out to have something different put in there. So I know there's more stuff that's needed, all these extra gates and things that are needed, but can we make sure that as we're going out to bid on this, we're moving forward with that it's going to be compatible with the ability to go to a no-horn zone in the future?
Well, we will be looking at that possibility because is the funds specifically for these intersections, but we'll consider the request because it requires the whole stretch along Palmdale. So there's other issues we need to address, but we will consider it.
No, I just don't want to see us put in one thing to tear it out and have to put something
Correct.
Else in and hear a complaint later on that, if we only knew.
Correct.
So, okay?
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Makes
sense. Any other comments? Thank you.
Next up, we have Mike Hinaway, City Engineer, City of Santa Clarita.
Good afternoon. I just want to give you a quick update on the projects the city been working with Metro to be identified for the Measure R.
Go over there so I can see you, please.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I'd have to stand.
Do you have a handout or...
No, it's a quick update on the projects that Metro just mentioned for City of Santa Clarita for the I-5 SR-14 Measure R money. As Isidro mentioned, we had a very productive meeting, city staff with Metro staff, and we went over projects and we identified four projects that Metro agreed that we submit to them last week that they'll take to the board. these four projects. Three of them are related to the Metrolink station on Vista Canyon. So the first one is the Vista Canyon Metrolink station, and it's a new Metrolink station in a Canyon country area of the city. Vista Canyon is part of a larger transit-oriented development, and the Metrolink station will be a major eastern transfer point for commuting passenger. The second project is to serve the Metrolink station as well, which is the Vista Canyon Metrolink parking structure. It's 750 spaces to support the Metrolink station. The third one also is related to the Metrolink station, which is the Vista Canyon Road Bridge, and includes traffic signal and turn pocket extension on Soledad Canyon to Las Canyon, and it provides access to the Metrolink station from Soledad Canyon. The fourth project that I identified was the Sierra Highway Traffic Signal Interconnect and Adaptive System. This project will integrate traffic signals along Sierra Highway into the City Intelligent Transportation System to provide coordinated and adaptive signal timing. This project will reduce traffic vehicles delay on Sierra Highway and reduce the impact of traffic on the SR-14. And these are the project, and I'd take a chance to thank Metro. It was a great meeting, and as Isidro mentioned, in September we're scheduled to go. Yes.
Any information on Via Princesa? I thought we had put in for that project.
Yeah. So the Via Princesa extension road is a major.
Oh, no, not.
Oh.
The extension or.
The.
Am I incorrect, Mike? The Via Princesa, what was that project that we had to resubmit, you know?
We submitted one of the projects in Bedford, determined that it was not an eligible utilization of the fund.
But didn't we resubmit it for them to take a second look at?
Yes.
And they still turned it down?
Yes. So in lieu of the Via Princesa project, we identified these four projects, and how are we going to spend the funds?
Okay.
Go.
Questions? Comments? I have a comment. Charlize, could you put Lancaster's back up? They request that the other board members in the jurisdictions, and if we could have a map like this that points out where you're getting the funding, how you're getting it, to make sure that we're getting equal funding along, and so we can make sure that everything's going.
I think the public just knowing where the funding's coming from is going to be important too.
Well, I think it's important for us to see it, yeah. For that we can put it out and we can see, and it's color-coded, we can, you know. Can you make sure that that happens?
Yeah. I think that's a great idea, because on this other things, I'm seeing that there's a great big empty space for Santa Clarita. So I want to make sure that there's something going on.
We want to make sure you get enough money to take care of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Okay. Is that it, Charlize?
That concludes our update, yes.
Okay. Metro Regional Rail.
Good afternoon, directors. With me is Brian Balderama, our Senior Director of Regional Rail. I have a lengthy presentation, so I'm going to split it up into two. One is to give you a regional rail update, and the second part of our presentation is kind of give you a quick update. I think you might be actually interested in some of the results of the Antelope Valley Line study. Kind of gives you some of the information that we've been working with our regional rail partners, especially Metrolink, on. And Brian is going to give the second part of that presentation.
Thank you.
So
that'd be great.
So I can proceed. I'm just waiting until everybody got an actual hard copy. But if it's on your screen, if you allow me to proceed, thank you. Is there a clicker?
Okay.
Is it a clicker?
Thanks.
So we, the first regional rail update is our Brighton to Roxford double track project. This is going to be presented at the Metro Board this Thursday. The Brighton to Roxford double track project is an 11-mile double track from Burbank all the way north of Sylmar. Sam?
Got it.
And the Metrolink Antelope Valley line is really the only transit serving the Antelope Valley with connections to both Glendale, Burbank, San Fernando, Los Angeles, Santa Clarita, Acton, Palmdale, and Lancaster. This project was approved, I'm going to take you back, by the Metro Board in July of 2015. And it was awarded to STV, our consultant, for approximately $12.5 million, with only a programming authority of $3 million. So as you can tell, there's a gap. So we are returning back to the board to fund it for the full programming authority. I'm going to give you a background on the Antelope Valley line from Brighton to Roxford. 60% of the Metrolink Antelope Valley line is single-tracked, which is operationally challenging, which means really that it's equivalent to one-lane road with bidirectional traffic. There are approximately 35 trains per week on that single line track. We are also going back with a new phasing approach to the Brighton to Roxford project. So as you can see in your screen and above, you have phase one that brings you from Burbank all the way to Sun Valley Siding. So if you ever ride the Metrolink Antelope Valley line, you notice that you stay a little longer on the Sun Valley station because there's a siding there that we wait, because from that moment on, it goes into a single track until you hit Burbank. So the second phase we're now going is from the Sun Valley siding all the way up to Van Nuys. We chose Van Nuys as a second kind of midterm is mainly because this is where we start to coordinate with the new East San Fernando light rail that the Metro Board approved last month. So approximately 2.5 miles from Van Nuys Boulevard to north of Sylmar San Fernando Station is where the East San Fernando light rail will be sharing the same corridor as the Metrolink line. From there, phase four is now starting to go back to just the Metrolink line from north of Sylmar San Fernando to what they call Control Point Roxford, just in Sylmar. So now with the Brighton to Roxford, it provides for 25 miles of continuous double track from Union Station to San Fernando Valley. That really enables 30-minute bidirectional service, especially to our newly opened Burbank Airport North Station. It also enhances safety with quiet zone-ready improvements at 16 ad-grade crossing all along the line. And of course, it improves safety, efficiency, as well as on-time performance. So this is what we're going to present to the Metro Board on Thursday. I kind of gave you some background slides and what it looks like today, what will happen after the East San Fernando Valley Transit Corridor projects, and then what would happen before. So I'm going to take you, if you take a look now, there's a bike path. This is really from Truman all the way to north of Sylmar San Fernando. From there, you can see there's a bike path. There is a San Fernando bike path in Metro right-of-way. When the East San Fernando Valley comes in, they're going to relocate the Metrolink track, relocate it a little bit to the west, and then move the East San Fernando the San Fernando bike path, purchase additional right-of-way to install the new San Fernando bike path. When Brighton to Roxford gets funded, the ability is for the Brighton to Roxford to double track where the new bike path is going to be, and relocate the bike path, should the City of San Fernando support that, onto city streets. Now I'm also going to give you a brief kind of piggybacking on the City of Santa Clarita update, as well as our Metro Highway update about the Vista Canyon and the importance of the Vista Canyon Metrolink station. It's truly a multimodal station up in the City of Santa Clarita. We are supporting their build grant application to advance this forward. The Metro Highway has also looked at potentially supporting this with approximately $5.65 million going into the Vista Canyon. We are now working with Metrolink on several Antelope Valley Line projects. They've categorized it on state of good repair, facility improvements, and capacity reliability improvements. So I'm not really going to go into this level of detail with you, but take a look at it. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call or email me. I believe Alex is also going to go through this in a little bit more detail in his presentation. I want to kind of give you an overall on the Antelope Valley Line potential improvements. I believe we passed out a list of improvements. In our last presentation to you last month, we gave this to you after the meeting. So now we wanted to make sure it was sent electronically. So we wanted to make sure that you had a chance to take a look at it, and if you have any questions, we intend to move forward with some of the projects listed on this handout here. And this is all related to providing 30-minute bidirectional service going all the way up to Lancaster. So we are now moving forward with the Palmdale siding. We should the Metro Board approve it. We intend to go back to the Metro Board in by the end of this year. If you recall, back in March of 2012, there was a Metrolink Antelope Valley Line Infrastructure Improvement Plan that was approved by the Metro Board that really looked into what improvements needed to be made to increase the speed coming from Lancaster all the way to Union Station. Most of all those recommendations have been worked on and actually have moved forward, with the exception of the Palmdale siding. This Palmdale siding really allows us to add a double track of approximately 2,500 feet long and include an additional side platform in the City of Palmdale station, which will obviously reduce the train turnaround from 1 hour and 10 minutes to support two trains per hour in both directions. We're also going to move forward with a study on Tunnel 25. So this is how Tunnel 25 looks like. And this was done at 12 o'clock at night, I believe, to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So this is a very unusual site condition because the water table is very, very high, within 5 feet of the existing grade. So when it rains, it feels like it's actually a flood in there. So we're working to see what we can do. Alex of Metrolink is going to give you an update of the intent of what they're going to do now. We're looking into carrying a study so we can do a permanent fix. Metrolink did request $10.8 million as part of their FY19 request to Metro. We didn't fund the total construction because we thought it would be important to really do a cost-effective study to see how we can fix this. It's a very unusual given that the water table is so high. So we wanted to make sure we spend the time to really look at an engineering solution to make a permanent fix in this corridor and not just throw some money that we don't even know how effective it will be. So with that, before I'll open up to any questions on my part of the presentation, I want to roll into the Metrolink Antelope Valley Line Study update, and we'll try and wrap it up within 5 minutes.
Thank you. So while that's loading, we'll just start into the background of what we're doing. The main purpose of the presentation is to give you an update on the Antelope Valley Line study. But in order to do that, to provide you some context, we have two concurrent studies along the Antelope Valley Line. The first segment will take you from LA Union Station to Glendale Burbank, which is control point Burbank Junction. The second study is the Antelope Valley Line study.
Right.
And in that one, that'll take you from the Burbank Junction all the way to the end of the line in the city of Lancaster. To provide you some corridor context, Metrolink's the only line that provides a rail transit service to the Antelope Valley as it is right now. So this study is important to the fact that we want to look at every physical element, ridership, existing constraints, future potentials for changes, and integrate all that together to figure out the best context-sensitive solution for regional rail mobility for this area. Right now, there's service to the Antelope Valley Line by 11 different bus operators. We did a deep dive into Union Pacific to see where the trains are going, what they are. So we listed that for you. And to know what the time of the day they're operating, to start updating the models for this area to figure out what's happening in a 24-hour cycle during the weekday and on the weekend. And then to take into consideration the future landings for high-speed rail as well as the East San Fernando Valley Transit Corridor Project. Looking at the first segment from Burbank Junction to Control Point Lang, the physical constraints of this segment, even though it's relatively flat of 1% grade or less, there are some significant curves, and this segment holds the highest or the longest tunnel segment in Metrolink system, which is 1.3 miles. And that's what Jeanette just mentioned right now through the Tunnel 25. The second segment takes us from CP Lang to CP Herald. In this, it has significantly the highest grades, profile grades, for the entire line segment, where we'll start ascending 2% or higher as we get to the Vincent Grade Acton Station and then start going down from that point. That's our high point, and then go down 2% or more to get relatively flat once again as we go approach Palmdale-Lancaster, where in that segment we have to figure out what we're going to do with those curves throughout the area and the speed reductions. This is to provide you, the boxes provide you an idea of the peak hour morning and evening service for the line. This is something that you're all well familiar with as riders for the Antelope Valley Line. This takes another look at that ridership, where the origins are shown before you as Via Princesa, Lancaster, where their destination is Union Station. The yellow is those peak periods. You can see by the high utilization rates during the peak hour service, most of these trains are occupied. If you look at the evening peak, it goes all the way up to 92-93% for utilization. Those are very packed cabs, and we want to look at what that means to figure out how we can either provide additional service during peak or distribute that service throughout the day. And we're hoping the study provides us some further input on this. Work trip analysis is something that we've already broken down through our data gathering for this study. Each box will give you the top five employer destinations and the city from that city shown. So as an example, Palmdale here provides you their highest destination is the end of the line at LA Union Station. And Vincent Grade, Via Princesa, what this information will tell you is as each station gets closer to Union Station, that you'll see that percentage go up as far as the share as LAUS as the destination. But between one station to the other, you can see how people are getting on and off. These are the remaining stations for Newhall, Sylmar, San Fernando, and Sun Valley, each showing a different job count and percentage share based on where everyone's going. Taking that data and putting it into another graphic, this gives you some of the top employers next to your stations. What we're doing at the moment is we asked different data sets. We still haven't received the Antelope Valley AQMD data. That'll augment these numbers here and let us know if the information, the preliminary information we received, is right on the money. If not, it'll just modify some of these circles that you see. And what these circles are employees. Any employer that has 200 or more is on this graphic for this area. Some more information we've digested through is origin and destination data that we received from Metrolink. This first set is looking at the Newhall, Santa Clarita, and Villa Princesa stations as the origin, giving 455,000 of the 1.4 million annual weekday trips along the AVL. This looks at the first box will give you the top five destinations along AVL that are hitting. The next box on the top gives you from Union Station and beyond, where are the destinations people are going from these three stations. And then the final larger box on the bottom of the page breaks down station-to-station trips from beginning to end to let you know from the three stations shown above where everyone is ultimately getting off, even from along the Metrolink system.
These are annual numbers, right?
Annual. Okay. Annual numbers.
Are these, when you do the map on the employers?
Yes.
Are those people that use Metrolink going to those employers or just the largest employers in those area?
So for the graphic that was showing the circles, that was just the larger employers for the area, not ones that are tied to the Metrolink as
riders. Is there also an analysis that shows the top employers that Metrolink riders go to?
Not in the information that we have, but we've already made that request, and we're hoping that's one of the information that comes that we're still pending.
That's something okay. We should coordinate with the AVTA because we're doing some of that as well. Maybe we can share that data.
Yeah, definitely.
So instead of us trying to compete with one another, we can augment each other here.
Okay. Sounds great. This one's looking at Vincent Grade, Acton, Palmdale, Lancaster as the origins. And you could see the trips are 370,000. Using that distribution, you could see the top five destination stations along AVL, the top five destination stations from Union Station and beyond, and then again, breaking down everybody's trips from beginning to end, letting you know as Metrolink riders where they're going. This will provide us greater context as we look at the individual stations and between those stations cost to benefit ratios as we develop these preliminary infrastructure projects to back up the service scenarios that we're looking at. Some takeaways for you. Since the implementation of the fare discount program in FY15, you can see the ridership is continuing to increase. Projections for FY19 show it even larger than the start of this graphic here at FY9. I believe the projections are 5,800. So if that continues, we need to follow with it and make sure that the infrastructure is there for the future and current riders. Looking at this graphic for boardings, it gives you an idea of the busiest and lowest average boarding stations. And then as you saw from those previous two tables for destination and origin, Union Station is drawing a huge number of riders at 266,000 trips, particularly from the Newhall, Santa Clarita, and Villa Princesa stations. And then the final 2 points are, even from the Vincent Grade, Acton, Palmdale, and Lancaster stations, 51% of those riders are traveling to other stations at 187,000 trips. Yeah. And then of the total 3.3 million daily trips, 12%, roughly 400,000, are going to Union Station.
My gosh, that's amazing.
So our next steps, we're going to take all of this data gathering we receive and start looking at how that relates to potential frequencies of the 1 hour, 30 minutes, and 30-minute services, and then be able to provide you how that corresponds to infrastructure improvements.
Can I just ask, based on all of these figures, I mean, these figures are amazing, how many trips there are. I'm not sure people realize that. Based on this kind of stuff, it seems to me that we should be able to get some federal grants and state grants to be able to do some of the work we need to do on the Antelope Valley line, because if and when SB1 is, if goes away, then a lot of the potential funding for all of this also maybe temporarily goes away, because I'm sure there's other pots of money. But how are we trying to take advantage of these figures?
We are continuously working with our regional rail partners to seek both state and federal grants. I believe Rafi is going to give you an update on the federal grants, but some of them, for example, on the build projects, are more focused on rural areas. And I think we're trying to see what we can do up here in the North County that can be considered a rural area. As far as the state grants are concerned, we're continuously submitting grants under the state. They're really looking to high capacity goods movement, which is a combination of both. They look for joint corridors like low sand and Metrolink service, in addition to higher frequency of freight service. So we're trying to compete, and we'll continue to submit because we believe in our Antelope Valley Line system.
Right. I totally understand that. My point is that I'm not sure that these figures are marketed enough so that there's understanding of what this means. It seems like highways and roads get all the attention because they're so gridlocked, but by being able to increase monies to get people off of those gridlocked roads, it seems like these kinds of figures would kind of make our point. And I don't know what kind of marketing maybe NCTC could put forward, or now that we have a consultant, talk about how we market better these facts, because I think they're amazing.
We agree, and we'll continue to work with everyone here to making sure that we're marketing it appropriately. We completely agree.
You know, I'm not sure that we're capturing the northbound traffic and the inbound.
Okay.
You're looking at everybody that's going down, but we did a study beginning of the year, and you know, we still have like 77,000 going down, but we have 22,000 coming up, and I want to make sure that we're capturing that capacity, because you know, you look at the northbound freeway in the morning, it's busy, you know. So is that a market that we can be capturing?
Time.
I know at AVTA we're looking at some of the connections into Air Force Plant 42, Mojave, and the plant. These guys are coming from someplace down below. We need to be cognizant of that.
We agree with you, and you can see just by our preliminary numbers here that just up between Lancaster and Palmdale. You have 39,300 employees working in that area, so we believe with you. So what we'll do is we'll collaborate to see making sure that our actual numbers hold true. And again, this is subject to change because we're waiting for AQMD, but we'll work together making sure we can really provide a robust and accurate depiction of our employers in the northern county.
Last month, I asked for enforcement on the AV line.
Yes. So are you going to provide that update? So Alex will provide that update. I ride the AVL line daily, both throughout the day, and I see the enforcement myself. I'm hoping any of you who rides the Antelope Valley line, just this morning I saw two sheriff's deputy doing enforcements, and I get checked in. So one thing great about the Antelope Valley line enforcement is mainly because 100% is done on the end, especially on the end stations, so Antelope Valley and Lancaster. And if you go into Union Station, try going to any other Metrolink line. Hit the Riverside line, the San Bernardino, that's roughly boarding the same time Antelope Valley. They don't have that type of enforcement. So we provide the funding for the Antelope Valley lines. It's 100% in Los Angeles County. So we are very lucky that it is 100% enforcement. And I'll defer to Alex to kind of give you a more detailed update on that.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Apologize for the lengthy presentation.
No, it's very good. Good very
stuff.
Good.
Great. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have more here today than I think we've got.
Metro?
Hi there. Good afternoon. My name is Alex Davis, Metrolink Government Relations. I'll be following up verbally with the update provided by Jeanette and Brian on some of the priorities that we're working on, and I'll be referencing a few documents. I'm happy to make those available to the JPA for the record. I will hit on three things in particular, the first being our State of Good Repair Program. I have some updates on projects that we're working on. I'll get a little bit into our Capital Improvement Program, what we're calling SCORE, and then I'll end giving some updates on safety and security. So first and foremost, on our State of Good Repair, we have been aggressively working on clearing our backlog of State of Good Repair projects along the Antelope Valley line. Within the last couple of months, we've made some really strong achievements toward that end. We replaced 8 culverts along the Antelope Valley line in May to ensure the safety and continued operations of the corridor. And with support from Metro and our local partners, that project was completed early. We avoided the last window of our service interruptions that we were expecting because of that project. So, and we're continuing to work towards a full State of Good Repair through Metro and with our local partners. I want to also mention, as Jeanette mentioned on our Tunnel 25 project, Metrolink is committed to ensuring that, again, our service remains safe and operational. We will be rolling out some immediate projects through Tunnel 25 to clear some of that backlog, specifically following 2 inspections in April and in June. We will be anticipating to perform ballast vacuuming and tie replacements through September and October of this year, and those efforts will continue as a long-term final solution is identified for Tunnel 25. And it's worth noting as well that it's a hot day. It's a good time to remember that anytime it gets hot outside, we're sometimes required to run our trains at slower speeds to ensure the quality and integrity of our rail. So we appreciate your patience as we anticipate maybe some of those heat warnings this week as well. So I'll stop there on the State of Good Repair if there's any questions before I continue. I want to briefly go over our capital improvement program. I've mentioned a few times Metrolink's ambitious vision towards improving service throughout all of our corridors, including the Antelope Valley line. It's no surprise and something that's been mentioned many times that the service that we're able to provide on our current corridors is highly constrained by a number of factors. That's including single tracked. That's primarily a significant hindrance for us on our Antelope Valley line. And what Metrolink has put forward is an aggressive capital improvement plan that we can complete in 10 years if we're successful with competing for grant opportunities. That's called the Southern California Optimized Rail Expansion, SCORE. We're going off of the theme of Olympic readiness to provide the necessary transportation system that we need not only for passenger but for goods movement as well. And as part of that project and that program and soliciting external funding sources, we were successful in receiving over $1.2 billion in state funding towards a $10 billion infrastructure program. That helps us get dollars flowing soon, hopefully. There is a very technical process that we're engaging in right now with the grantor, the state of California, and our engineering staff. We're using scheduling software and simulation software to run hypotheticals on where we can get these dollars put to work to yield strong benefits, and as Jeanette mentioned, meeting the requirements of the grantor as well. And what we have come up with is a recommended list that has been proposed to our board that includes 16 priorities that helps us in certain corridors. Again, the goal of our SCORE program is to get to 30-minute headways bidirectional all day, so that way we're able to get people to and from all their destinations. And then on certain corridors, we're able to leverage those investments to get up to 15-minute service corridors. And that's between Santa Clarita Union Station, Moore Park and Union Station, and then Union Station down to Laguna Niguel. But worth mentioning as well that our priority is that 30-minute system-wide service. So the $1.2 billion that we received, we're anticipating, will help us get towards 60-minute headways between Riverside and Fullerton, between Union Station and Laguna Niguel and Laguna Niguel and Riverside. We're expecting to use some funding towards projects that will help us receive to get towards 30-minute headways between L.A. and Moore Park, L.A. and Santa Clarita, and L.A. and San Bernardino. Within the JPA area, we are trying to get up to 30-minute headways between L.A. Union Station and Lancaster, and then 15 minutes up to Santa Clarita. There are two projects that we think are good candidates from that $1.2 billion. That is improvements to the Burbank Junction and signals between Burbank and L.A. Union Station. Those two projects will help us towards 30-minute headways between Union Station and Santa Clarita. I would be remiss if I did not mention that there are a host of other projects that we are required to fund in order to get those 30-minute headways between L.A. and Santa Clarita and L.A. and Lancaster, and then ultimately that 15-minute service between L.A. and Santa Clarita. But we're encouraged by the support of the state in getting those dollars to the critical areas that we have throughout our system. And we're looking forward to some additional opportunities, as Jeanette mentioned, to get more dollars spent on the Antelope Valley Line. I'll quickly go over and highlight some information about our build application that was referenced earlier. We, in addition to the application submitted by the City of Santa Clarita for the Vista Canyon project, are anticipating seeking $66.59 million from the federal build program. That will be roughly compartmentalized into three $28 million categories. The first one is to address some more of those state of good repair projects. The second category is to support our facilities, of which we need to support that additional service on our Antelope Valley Line. And the third category is $28 million towards a section of the Brighton to Roxford project, of which was mentioned earlier. That's a significant improvement. That project helps us get some significant improvements in service along the Antelope Valley Line. And there are a number of other candidate projects within the state of good repair component for that we're including, anticipating including in our build application as well. That's improving rail ties and just generally looking at our infrastructure along the Antelope Valley Line, seeing where we can get some of those federal dollars spent. I will stop there really quickly before I head into the security and safety updates. If there are any questions on our state of good repair or capital program.
Yeah, just real quick, when you're looking at that 15, 30-minute headway, can you at least work with the local jurisdictions that have all these ag-grade crossings to make sure that we're trying to minimize the impact? I know not every trip's going on the train, but there's a lot of local trips. So if you could at least work with us to make sure we try to minimize the impact.
Thank you. And a great point. I was a bit remiss for not mentioning that our capital improvement program score, where we are getting dollars spent, we are including in all of our design criteria the requirements that those be included to quiet zone readiness. That way, we're ensuring those dollars can be spent towards improvements that would allow us to operate through these corridors without blowing our horns. That's a requirement of the federal government. And that priority is included in our capital program. And it's also worth mentioning as well that within a different application we're seeking to the CRISI program, we're seeking roughly $9 million from that program for improvements to our PTC system, that's positive train control. It's a technical system that allows us a digital overlay of our system for tracking monitoring of where trains are if they're entering into an area that has a speed restriction or if they're not supposed to be accessing it. The system is highly constrained. We're running out of bandwidth because there's a lot of utility in that system and interfacing with other operators, so we're trying to get some additional bandwidth. But we're also looking to incorporate PTC into our crossings so that way we can start working towards advanced preemption and minimizing disruptions at our crossings in some of the local municipalities. So being able to use that technology is not available to us yet because we need the funding for it. So we are happy to partner with any of the municipalities in this room or on the board and getting some support for that application because it's desperately needed for Metrolink. Thank you for that question. And a quick update on our safety and security. I'm proud to announce and to share that our security continues to be successful on our NLF felony line. Crimes and fare evasion continue to be showing positive trends and declines. That is in response to, as it was mentioned earlier, Metro's support of a really aggressive fare enforcement program that started under the previous supervisor in the 5th District and continued under Director Barger. We are able to implement a stronger and fair enforcement program along our Antelope Valley line, which we're not able to do on our other corridors. That has shown strong gains in reducing crime and reducing fare evasion on all the trains on the Antelope Valley line. And in addition to that commitment, Metrolink is meeting with municipalities along the Antelope Valley line to introduce, we have some new security staff that we're introducing, and we're bringing out our operations team to talk about emergency responses and preparedness if there's a need to interface with any of the municipalities. So those conversations started with the city of Palmdale, and we had some really fruitful, positive conversations. We'll be meeting with the city of Santa Clarita in August, and we're hoping, and we hope to meet with the city of Lancaster soon as well. These are all important stakeholders for us as we continue to have a safe and strong system.
What are the numbers?
I can report back and provide specific numbers. I don't want to misrepresent, but I know that the trends are showing declines along our Antelope Valley line on crime and on fare evasion. And I'll provide those to the GP for the record as well.
Okay, Alex, I asked for them last month, and that's what you told me last month. You told me you'd bring them this month. So next month, can you bring them?
Apologies. Yes, we'll bring those for you, and we'll send those for the record as soon as possible as well.
And coordinate with the bus agencies and things like this, because some of them also have parallel security. So just make sure we're getting the correct number as opposed to either a duplicate or missing something on that. Also, I want to thank you and your staff for coming up. We talked about some of these grade crossing issues and signal problems, and I want to thank you for bringing your guys up and looking at that. And it was actually quite enlightening. I had fun.
Thank you. And yeah, it was a great exercise for us as well. We learned a lot. And anything that we can do to continue this coordination interfacing with our local municipalities, we have a great relationship with AVTA and all of the municipalities on the JPA. So thank you for that. And that coordination is critical for us as an operator.
Well,
so thank you.
We'll let you know how that's working out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah, just real quick. Burbank Station, Airport Station's open now. Can you come next month and report on ridership? Is it meeting projections and such?
Yes, thank you. That is a great point. We'll bring some numbers on that as well with the security numbers. We have opened our brand new Burbank Airport North Station. It's the first time we have a train-to-plane connection for the North LA County area, and the first time we have a 7-day-a-week train connection. Our current station doesn't operate on the weekends. So we're happy to report back on the numbers on that.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay.
Metro.
Mr. Chair and members, Michael Turner with Metro Government Relations. And if it helps, I understand that you'd prefer to have presentations at the next meeting, so we'll make sure we have a presentation regularly for you. I just want to give you a quick update on the state legislature and talk a little bit about SB1. As I'm sure you know, the legislature is on recess until the beginning of August, and they come back for that last crazy month of session. We have a set of bills we're working on that are specific to Metro's authority, one of which I want to mention is AB 2548 by Assemblymember Friedman. That would allow us to develop what's called a commuter benefit ordinance. We would work with employers who have work sites below 250. In the AQMD region, they have a rule that applies to employers of work sites over 250, but so in the AQMD area, we'll be working on work sites that have employees below 250. But basically, all we want to do is ask employers to make available to their employees the ability to claim a pre-tax exemption for their transit costs. So we think that's a very not so obstructive way for employers to provide a benefit to their employees. But the bill has to pass, and then once the bill passes, our staff will be working with all the local agencies to coordinate the development of this, because there are a number of cities that have similar ordinances, and we don't want to get in the way of cities that have things. So we will also implement our ordinance in areas where cities don't have a similar program. But like I said, if the governor signs that bill, if it passes the legislature, if the governor signs it, then our staff will be coming out to work with all the local agencies to develop ordinance. Excuse me?
What's that bill number?
AB 2548. It's by Assemblymember Friedman. And then the main thing I wanted to do today is give you a preview of some informational materials that we are preparing regarding SB1. We have an overall document that we prepared for our applications, but what we've been working on is compiling from all of the agencies in the county of what is getting done with SB1 dollars. And if you remember, SB1 is a total of $5 billion, three-fifths of which actually doesn't come to Metro. There's the first $1.5 billion goes to Caltrans for highway projects. The next $1.5 billion goes to the cities and the county for local street and road repair projects. We compete in the discretionary categories, which is a big chunk of what's left of that $5 billion. But a lot of the money is formula and goes directly to Caltrans and to the locals. So we're working with Caltrans, all the cities, the county, Metrolink, the municipal operators, to compile all of these projects that are getting funded from SB1 into a set of documents. We'll have an overall sheet that'll be a summary sheet, but then just like with Measure M, we're preparing sub-regional fact sheets that will identify specifically what's being funded in each of the sub-regions. So I want to give you a preview of some of the numbers we're looking at for the North County, and we'll have these fact sheets prepared soon. Knockwood, it's quite an internal exercise. But just to give you some example, the cities of Lancaster, Palmdale, also Santa Clarita, we're looking at something like a 74% increase in the money that comes from the state for the local street and roads funds. Antelope Valley's looking at an increase of about $564,000 a year. The unincorporated parts of the county also get money from that. And there's a significant amount of money that goes to the county, and then the county gets to parcel that up, how they do that.
Yes.
I stay out of that. Thank you. Yes. So there's a significant increase going to the county for the unincorporated areas. Metrolink, as Alex mentioned, the SCORE program, a lot of the SCORE program is funded from SB1. There's also a dedicated, this is new, there's a dedicated category of funds that goes directly to commuter and intercity rail services. That's also new in SB1. And Alex, I think you mentioned a couple of things you're looking at in the future for that category. And then, of course, we have the other projects we've mentioned, which were funded through the discretionary categories. The allocations to the big one really is the allocation to the I-5, the $247 million. That is the discretionary grant that the CTC made. Osama mentioned the funding for the 138 that was restored. That was actually due to SB1 being in place. A couple of years ago, the state had to make a number of cuts in the STIP. 138 was one of the projects that got cut. But since there is SB1 funds, those monies were able to be put back. So that's good news. So that's the preview. Like I said, if you've seen what we did for Measure M, the sub-regional fact sheets, we're going to have something very similar for SB1. one. We hope to have those shortly. I've got lots of big spreadsheets from our capital planning people, but we really want to thank all the other agencies, Caltrans, the county, and others who have been giving us this information so we can compile it. And with that, I will conclude until Rafi has
comments,
update on the federal issues.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Public comments. Anyone in the audience like to speak? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Five quick updates on the federal front with an eye towards clarity and brevity. The first one is the good news that the supervisor talked about earlier. Early June, $47 million for the I-5 project at the 14 junction up to Parker Road and Castaic. Bottom line there is all the stakeholders here came together, advocated for that grant, and especially the supervisor, who I know took a number of USDOT folks up in a helicopter, got to see it. And I think one of the things that she showed while she had the undersecretary in town was that really the 14 and the 5 are the two main pipelines into the basin, and that they're critical roadways and worthy of federal investment. And so, all the stakeholders did a great job. Congressman Knight, local state assemblymen, the local state senators really did a great job. And it shows when you're unified what can be achieved. Supervisor Barger went above and beyond. We spoke to Secretary Chow. She put her hand up and said, spoke to the supervisor. Deputy Assistant Secretary Rosen put his hand up, spoke to the supervisor. Jim Ray at DOT spoke to the supervisor. Anthony Bedell, she worked her Rolodex about as hard as you could work a Rolodex. So thank you to everyone. Second issue is the appropriations process. In an election year, Congress is doing something pretty uncommon. They're working with dispatch on the appropriations process. Both the House and the Senate are moving forward with their fiscal year 19 appropriations bill. Why is this important? Because the bill includes about $46 billion in highway funding, $13.7 billion in transit funding, and that's important because that tracks the exact amount under the FAST Act, which was the authorization bill that Chairman Schuster and former President Obama worked together, and which expires in 2020. So that's a bit of good news. The third item I want to bring up is future grants. A number of folks mentioned the build grants. The deadline was July 19th. Now those are in the hopper at the USDOT. We're probably looking around 2 or 3 months for them to consider those grants. So as much advocacy as possible that can be thrown at the USDOT, sort of following that I-5 example of unity, local, state, and federal officials coming together and expressing to the federal government their support, all the more positive. Later this year is the infra grant, and we should have a notice of funding availability probably in the fall. And that is where the first infra grant came from for the five. Fourth issue, last week, just out of the blue, Chairman Schuster, House D&I Committee, said, I've got a infrastructure package, and I'm going to release it probably in the next 2 weeks. This comes as sort of a surprise because Congress and the executive branch were sort of talking about this big infrastructure bill. It has sort of gone dormant, and apparently now it has new life. It has new life. Last issue, sort of a discrete boutique issue for some, a big issue for Metro, is the tariff issue. In late May, the administration, through the U.S. Office of the Trade Representative, mentioned that there's going to be a levy of 25% on about 1,000 line items of products produced in China. On June 15th, that was memorialized with a notice in the Federal Register issued by the USTR. There is an appeals process for those seeking to have a specific item basically seek a waiver from these tariffs. Since then, the administration has talked about another $200 billion in items from China that would be subject to an additional 25% tariff. Important to our agency because we are purchasing rail cars, heavy rail cars from the Chinese railroad company, and we also have buses that are being manufactured by BYD. We're tracking this very carefully and speaking with BYD and speaking to the folks at the CRRC And those are the five issues. There's obviously lots more going on, but those are the top five. If there are any questions, comments, critiques, criticisms, all of it's welcome.
Yes, sir.
As you know, I've been very personally close to the I-5 opportunity for very long. And I what I don't hear enough of is a big thank you and acknowledgement to the Metro staff and in absentia the Caltrans staff for taking the lead on getting those applications into both the state and the feds and bringing home the bacon. Thank you.
Well, big team effort, Victor, Michael Cano, Therese McMillan,
right.
Lori Lombardi. There's a great bunch of people. It shows what we can do when we work together towards a common goal.
I want to thank Metro for taking the lead in putting together the SB1 impacts. Both of you, I appreciate that. I know I made a commitment with Phil to have the county work with you guys closely, and it's critical that we get the news out of the impact of losing those dollars. The county's been very active. You mentioned $142 million right now in county coffers. And for the Antelope Valley folks that are here, the majority of those dollars do come to the Antelope Valley because most of the road miles are in North County. So, you know, appreciate you guys putting it out and educating the public about the benefits of that. And also the federal update is excellent. Thank you, Rafi, for what's going on. I didn't know about Schuster, and now I'm going to be in D.C. finding out what the heck he's going to do. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, public comment from the floor. Do we have any speaker cards?
We received no speaker cards.
Anyone in the audience like to speak? Director comments. Announcements? Mr. Bozina?
Real quick, I think we're remiss. Congratulations to Arthur on behalf of everyone. And one of the things I hope is that as a JPA, we're getting better working together, but you could bring the business community on board. We have some of the folks in here, advocacy groups, to be a better better force in terms of advocating for North County.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Arthur, you want to speak to us?
Fine.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. We stand adjourned.
No, this is helpful. This is helpful. I've observed these things for a lot of years, and now I'm kind of in the middle of the action. I appreciate it.
This thing was so stalled for so long.
I hear you. Arthur. At the supervisor's advice, I had to abstain. You understand that you had the votes. Yeah, it's going to be on the next agenda.
Take care, Phil.
Get it on the agenda, Arthur.
That's why I haven't taken a position. You know what? You've got to make up your mind. Let me just give you a fact. You know, that's why I'm trying to be. You got to get us some material. You know, I don't know. I'm sure they'll know. Every one of my damn cars. I got rid of the motorhome. I thought it was going to be doing better. Crap. Yeah.